I don't pretend for a moment to understand the Trinity. And frankly, I don't trust anyone who says they do. Even the venerable St. Augustine, in a moment of humility, said it was beyond him. We tend to think of the Trinity, when we think of it at all, which is not often, admittedly, as having to do with who God is. In other words, it involves some complex formula about the three persons who make up God, Father, Son, and Spirit. It was all worked out in a meeting that took place over a few months in May and June, right about now, in the year 325, in a city named Nicaea, in what we now know as Turkey. And there are some good things about what they came up with. I like, for example, that it's personal. God understood as three persons, not three concepts or three energies. And it's not about what God does, a functional God of creator, redeemer, sustainer. But even the three persons formula ends up feeling pretty impersonal, pretty metaphysical. It's the traditional view, the one in our creeds, and it's a defining element in Christian faith. But Trinity Sunday is no mere dutiful nod to an ecclesiastical argument that was resolved over 1700 years ago. I wouldn't be standing here talking about it if that's all this was about. Here's what I think. The Trinity is not a thing. It's not something we need to describe. It's not an idea we need to grasp. It's a relationship to be entered into. God reveals God's most intimate self as love in the dynamic relationship of Father, Son, and Spirit, as the vulnerability and the risk that love requires to be love. It's all about the relationship. The Trinity is important because it insists, bottom line, that God is not distant, self-sufficient, and unmoved. Our God is a relational God. Within God, there is diversity and interaction and movement that we speak of by three names or three persons. But it's at the core of who God is. It's at the core of everything God does. It's at the heartbeat, the very heartbeat of what God needs the church to be. The one reason that we know any of this about God is love. God is love. And the only way we experience love is by sharing. It's reciprocal. Love is shared. It cannot be otherwise. God is love, so God's essential core being is and always has been a giving and a receiving, a sharing of love that finally spills out into the whole of the universe and invites all of us into relationship. And this is why, of all things, the Trinity makes a difference in how we are the church and how we do church in the world today. When we say that the church is not a building or even an organization, but is a way of being in the world that is life-giving in community, what we're saying is that the church, too, is all about relationship, just, healing, life-giving relationships. And the reason for that is love. From the beginning of time, the dynamic power of love that is at the heart of God's identity and character has only been known by being shared in profound and transforming relationships. We call that church, whether it happens in here or out there. Our faith in a relational Trinitarian God means that the church is accountable. We're accountable for initiating, building, and maintaining life-giving relationships like that. It means that while our faith may be personal, it can never be private. Our faith is social. Our God is relational. The U.S. Episcopal Bishop Michael Curry, in his now famous, thanks to YouTube, sermon at the royal wedding last weekend, spoke of the redemptive power of love, which, he said, will make of this old world a new world. There's power in love, he said. Don't underestimate it. And then he launched into a cascade of the things in our love-starved world that could be transformed by love. What is the Trinity but the love that is in, no, the love that is the heart of God? And here in this place where people live rebirth and newness of life every day in ways that are small and sometimes in ways that are large, we can add something more to this picture. We know that if the very heart of God is about relationship, then we cannot be reborn, born from above, born again, born in the Spirit, in isolation, as individuals. We experience renewal in community. We are transformed by new life that God births within us as we gather together, which means that churches can be born again too. Churches can be born from above, not just individuals. And in our society of suspicion and ambivalence, not so much about spirituality or even about God, but about stale, impersonal institutions, the idea, the very idea that churches, that communities of faith can be born again, is a radical one. For us, it is a tremendously hopeful one. In love, God never gives up on us as individuals. We can be born again, reborn from above. And as churches, God is not done with us yet. We too can be renewed, restored, reborn. And this congregation is a living example of that. God's surprising newness is being offered to us as Fairlawn Avenue United Church at this point in our life together. We are at a moment of transformative change that is filled with the promise of new birth in God's Spirit and in God's love for the world. It's true, the Trinity is a rather dry and dusty old piece of dogma. But at the same time, the Trinity does matter. It matters a lot today as churches, like each of us, seek renewal, rebirth, and hopeful newness in relationship and in love. To be experienced, it's a relationship to be entered into. It's about love. It's as simple as that. And when God loves, things happen. Great things, lively things, transforming things happen. And it can start right here. Thanks be to God. Amen.